don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me. In the presence of my enemies, you honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Then looking further in the book of Psalms, Psalm 100, beginning at verse 1. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Lord, thank you once again for the honor, the blessing, the privilege, and the great grace that is ours as we read and meditate on your word each and every day. Thank you, Lord, for how that amongst other things, your word empowers us and strengthens us to live a lifestyle of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. And it reminds us in so time and time again of your goodness, your grace, your mercy. Hallelujah, Lord, you run our cups over every day in so many ways. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for health and strength, the chance to know you, to be able to serve you. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word and hear from you from heaven every day of our lives. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who speaks to us daily throughout the day. And thank you, Lord, for the presence of your Holy Spirit who comforts us, strengthens us, encourages us, and does so much. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Help us to more and more live a lifestyle of living that way, a life full of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything. Father, thank you so much for the gift of faith. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Father, thank you so much also that we can choose to trust in you. Father, thank you for all the experiences that we've had in our past and that we have in our present, that we're going to have in our future, of you pursuing us with your goodness and mercy. Father, thank you so much for Jesus and the full story of him stored in the Bible, and that he's alive and well today, and that through Jesus, we've experienced the fullness of your love. Father, we praise you in the season for all that you've provided and all that you've done to call us to you. And Father, I just ask that you'd soften our hearts, that we could respond more and more, and that we could grow more and more in your likeness. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family today. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God. And we're focusing on the topic today, a lifestyle of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Again, a lifestyle of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. And you know, we talk about worship and praise and thanksgivings maybe often, but the reality is it takes discipline and commitment to live a lifestyle of filling our lives with worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Yet it's a good discipline and it's a good commitment because the fact is God is worthy of all the praise and thanksgiving and worship we can give him, and he's worthy of so much more. And we were wise enough to make it a point to really praise and worship and thank him just consistently in our lives. It blesses our lives in so, so many ways. Remember, praise, worship, and thanksgiving stir the Holy Spirit working in your life, and therefore it stirs your joy as well. On the other hand, one could say that the opposite of praise and worship and thanksgiving is complaining. And the fact is, complaining is just like praise, worship, and thanksgiving are not neutral activities. They're activities that edify us and that allow and invite the Holy Spirit to work in our lives in a greater way. But like that is not a neutral activity, it's an edifying activity. Complaining is neither. That too is not a neutral activity. Complaining invites the devil into any situation. To complain about something is to curse it and to speak curses over that item. So that's one more reason why we should never complain and strive to avoid complaining under any circumstances, because complaining can make a tough situation worse under any circumstances. Don't be a complainer. So again, as we're looking today at the topic, a lifestyle of worship, praise, and thanksgiving, may we be wise enough to ask God to help us to be faithful to live a life just that way. Thank you again, Father, and anoint us all afresh with an even greater anointing of the Spirit of worship, praise, and thanksgiving, and help us to live it daily more and more for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Looking now further in the book of Psalms, Psalm 92, beginning at verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-stringed instrument, a harp, and the melody of a lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy. I sing for joy because of what you have done. O Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. Only a simpleton would not know, and only a fool would not understand this. Though the wicked sprout like weeds and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish. All evildoers will be scattered. But you have made me as strong as a wild ox. You have anointed me with the finest oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him." All of Psalm 92. And again, those psalms, the first three psalms we shared, Psalm 23, Psalm 100, and Psalm 92, are all really our Thanksgiving psalms. Now, sometimes one might say, well, is Psalm 23 a Thanksgiving? Absolutely it is. And so it's a good one to read and be thankful behind it as well. I'm going to read an excerpt from a beautiful book written by Nancy Lee DeMoss. It's entitled The Attitude of Gratitude, Developing a Thankful Heart. And so reading the introduction and a portion of the book, just want you to listen. You've seen them on television commercials advertising a major credit card in with the reminder, don't leave home without it. That little phrase could apply equally well to the topic of this booklet. The attitude of gratitude, don't leave home without it. In fact, you don't want to stay home without it either. The importance of this matter of gratitude can hardly be overstated. I've come to believe that there's nothing more becoming of a child of God than a grateful spirit. By the same token, there's probably nothing that makes a person more unattractive than the absence of a grateful spirit. In my own life, I've learned that in every circumstance that comes my way, I can choose to respond in one of two ways. I can worship or I can whine. When we choose the pathway of worship and giving thanks, especially in the midst of difficult circumstances, there's a fragrance, a radiance that issues forth out of our lives to bless the Lord and others. On the other hand, when we give in to whining, murmuring, and complaining, we end up on a destructive slide that ultimately leads to bitterness and broken relationships. The consequences of an ungrateful spirit are not as readily seen as, say, those of a contagious disease, but they are no less deadly. Our modern culture is experiencing an epidemic of ingratitude. Like a poisonous vapor, this subtle sin is polluting our lives, our homes, our churches, and our society. A grateful man or woman will be a breath of fresh air in a world contaminated by bitterness and discontentment. This booklet is a call to make a radical break with whining and complaining, and to make a deliberate choice to be a grateful person. If you want to cultivate an attitude of gratitude, I would appeal to you not just to skim through it, the booklet, and set it aside. Rather, commit yourself to read the booklet carefully from cover to cover, then set aside a week of thanks to do the exercises found at the back. Oh, and by the way, the book is entitled The Attitude of Gratitude, Developing a Thankful Heart by Nancy Lee DeMoss. And we'd encourage you to prayerfully consider getting the book. It's a very encouraging little tool. Continuing reading. Recently, I called a dear friend on his 89th birthday. I was moved as he told me, if I'm remembered for anything, I want it to be that I was a grateful person. Here's a man who lost his mother at the age of 3 and his father as a young man. Years ago, his oldest child was killed in a tragic accident. Now he is in the sunset years of his life. His physical strength and health are declining. But my friend has determined to be a grateful man. He is quick to verbalize the goodness and blessings of God in his life. As a result, he is a peaceful, contented man. And the fragrance of his life will continue to bless others long after he lays aside his earthly body. That's the kind of person I want to be. I invite you to join me in that pursuit. Then continuing in the booklet. By today's standards, she should have been an unhappy, troubled woman. Young Frances. Her father died when she was quite young, leaving her to be raised by her mother and grandmother. As a result of a doctor's careless error when she was only 6 weeks old, she was afflicted with lifelong blindness. The tragic and traumatic experiences of this woman's childhood years would have given most people more than enough grounds for a lifetime of self-pity, bitterness, and psychological disorders. Yet in her autobiography, Frances Jane Crosby wrote, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank him for the dispensation." The doctor who destroyed her sight never forgave himself and moved from the area. But there's no room for Fanny Crosby's heart. But there was no room for Fanny Crosby's heart for resentment. If I could meet him now, she wrote, I would say, thank you over and over again for making me blind. The blindness that many would have considered at best an accident and at worst a curse was considered by Fanny to be one of her greatest blessings. She accepted her blindness as a gift from God. I could not have written thousands of hymns, she said, if I had been hindered by the distractions of seeing all the interesting and beautiful objects that would have been presented to my notice. Fanny's first poem, written when she was 8 years old, reflects the perspective that was hers until her death at the age of 95. Here's Fanny's poem, written when she was 8. Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. So weep or sigh because I'm blind, I cannot nor I won't. For over a century, the church has reaped the rich benefits of one woman's thankful heart as we sing some of the many hymns Fanny Crosby wrote. To God be the glory. Blessed assurance, redeemed, all the way my Savior leads me, and countless others of the 8,000 songs that Fanny Crosby wrote in her lifetime. And we can pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, a lifestyle of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. We'll be right back.
From getting through. wish that you could see it all made new. We do. Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Father truly love us? Does the Spirit move among us? And is Jesus our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? Does our God intend to dwell again?
Andrew Peterson with Is He Worthy? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, a lifestyle of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. And I want to invite you to look with us in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, a passage that often is typically considered a Christmas passage. And of course it's that, but it's a whole lot more than that as well. This is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said. "For this is what the prophet excuse me, for what, this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Verses 1 through 12, Matthew chapter 2. Again, we're looking today at the topic, again, a lifestyle of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. And this story here, this account found in the Word of God in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, again, it's a powerful and a unique passage of Scripture in the Word of God. Again, these were wise men from eastern lands, apparently from Persia, who'd come a long way to come and worship the King of Kings. Notice their goal is to come and worship the King of the Jews. Now, of course, apparently they realized not only was he King of the Jews, but he was King of the universe as well. And they happened to know that one of the stars was pointing them to the King of the Jews and the King of the universe as well. And for some reason, it appears that maybe the star disappeared for a time. So they were asking for additional guidance once they arrived in the Jerusalem community. But notice, too, specifically, they came a long way to worship. They came a long way to worship. Now, sadly, there are some people, they won't drive down the street to go worship the Lord in church. But you know, you don't necessarily have to be in church simply to worship God. You can worship God anywhere you might be. But worshiping God, taking time to give him thanks, praise, and glory and honor for his goodness, his grace, his mercy, all that he is and what he does and is doing in the world, it's wise to spend significant time giving thanks, praise, and worship to our Heavenly Father. He's worthy of all the praise and worship we can give him, and so, so much more. So living a lifestyle of worshiping and praising God is very, very wise. And so apparently the wise men were wise enough to know that it's more than worth it to come a long way to find the king and worship him. And so King Herod, though, his reaction was not one of joy and excitement. He's upset. Apparently he's upset that another king is trying to, in his mind, move in on his turf. And so he asked the religious leaders where he's to be born. And so he asked his religious leaders in the community where the Messiah was supposed to be born. Now, keep in mind, it specifically says the Messiah. So if some say, well, they called him the King of the Jews. Did they really know he was the Messiah? Well, it looks like Herod has no misunderstanding at all. He immediately realizes they're looking for the Messiah. They're looking for the Messiah that the Jewish people have been looking for centuries. And he specifically asks his counselors and religious leaders, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? So the wise men have come to worship the Messiah. And Herod and the people of Jerusalem realize it's the Messiah that they're looking for. And the religious leaders respond by saying, in Bethlehem in Judea. Now, just so that you know, Bethlehem means house of bread. Judea means praise. So basically, Jesus was born in the house of bread in the land of praise. And the wise men were wise enough to come to the house of bread in the land of praise to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a wonderful thing. What a wise thing on their part. No wonder we call them wise men. They're wise in ways that we may not even fully comprehend. And so they've come to the promised land, and now they're looking for Jesus more specifically. And so the religious leaders give them further direction. Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem in Judea. Herod has a secret meeting, and he tells them, go to Bethlehem, look carefully for him. When you find him, come back so I can worship him too. Obviously, King Herod has no goals of worshiping the king. He's fully intending to try to murder the king. And how sad that he had that attitude. But the fact is, Jesus is the greatest king that ever walked the earth. And so no king, Herod, or anyone else would even come close to being as great a king as Jesus was. But the wise men, so they pack up and they head on to Bethlehem. And it appears that the star once again appears as they're headed to Bethlehem. And it continues to guide them till it stops over the place where the child was. And when they were excited and they rejoiced, they were filled with joy as they saw the star. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and worshiped him. Remember, they came there to worship him. And it says they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They came to worship. They came to worship. Now, the fact is, some very important insights we can draw and learn from the wise men. Apparently, they knew God. And they knew God and they listened to God. And keep this in mind. A big part of the Christian life is listening to God. We listen to God by reading and meditating on his word. We listen by his spirit because, yes, God speaks to all of his children every day. Sometimes what you think is a passing thought through your mind may be the Holy Spirit speaking to you, giving you guidance, insight, or wisdom about a matter. Now, by no means am I saying that every passing thought in your mind is the Holy Spirit. Not at all. But often what you might think is a passing thought is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. We're wise, actually. You're wise to keep a notebook and write down thoughts, ideas, or insights that just come to your mind that you think maybe that's God speaking to you. Because actually, if you do that, again, you'll find that actually the more you're looking for God to speak to you, the more he will speak to you. But the more you think, oh, that was just a passing thought or that wasn't important, the more you ignore when God speaks to you, the less he will speak to you. So being deliberate about listening for the voice of God is very important. And remember, you can always hear the voice of God through his word. You want to hear from God? You want to hear from heaven today? Open your Bible and let God speak to you. Yes, he'll speak to you directly through his word today. So the more you read the word of God, the more you can hear from God. But in addition to that, if you want to hear the Holy Spirit more and more clearly and more so in your life, spend more time reading the Word of God, and the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life will get louder and louder and louder. Well, these men, apparently they knew God. They were close to God and they were listening to God so that when the star appeared, they knew exactly what the star meant. It was pointing to the King of the Jews. And they were impressed with the Lord to pack up and go and find him and worship him and bring him valuable gifts. They were listening to God. They knew God, and they came a long way to worship. Now, the fact that, praise God for the fact that they were wise enough to come a long way to worship. Well, apparently, God was guiding them, and he was using them. And now, even though, very sadly, the scripture doesn't indicate a single person said, hey, if you found the Messiah, we want to come follow you too. Scripture doesn't indicate a single person came. How sad. They should have had crowds of people saying, hey, if you have found the Messiah, we want to come and see and worship him too. But that it doesn't appear that that happened. And some might think, well, looks like people didn't seem to follow them, so maybe their trip was somewhat not so successful. No, keep in mind, everybody that reads Matthew chapter 2 is pointed to the Messiah by the tools God has placed in the wise men as his ambassadors. So for centuries, the wise men have continued to point people to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. So apparently they were worshiping God in Persia before they came and made the trip, and they came to worship God in person. You and I are wise to worship God as a lifestyle. Spend time at home thanking and praising and worshiping God in song and just giving him thanks and praise in the quietness of your room. Worship and praise God because that's a wise way and lifestyle to live. It stirs the Holy Spirit to work in your life more and more and mightily. And remember, amongst other things, the Holy Spirit is a fire. And if you want the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn more brightly in your life, spend significant time thanking, praising, and worshiping God every day of your life. Thank you, Lord, for the example of the wise men who were wise enough to come a long way to worship. And more stir us to be a people who worship you day and night. Just worship you throughout the day and giving you thanks and praise and glory and honor. Thank you for the opportunity to live a lifestyle like that. And Lord, more and more, set us on fire with the spirit of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Help us to realize, Lord, that worshiping and praising you helps us draw closer to you. It edifies us, it strengthens us, and it helps us to hear your voice more and more clearly. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that every believer is called to live a lifestyle of praise, worship, and thanksgiving. And Lord, help us to realize much more fully that we can't praise and thank you and worship you too much, because the fact is you're worthy of all the praise, worship, and thanksgiving we can give you, and you're worthy of so much more. Thank you, Lord, again, for the honor and the blessing and the grace that is ours because we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And thank you for the opportunity to be co-laborers with you in the vineyard as we are involved in the work of being disciples and making disciples. Help us to know, Lord, that every day as we live a lifestyle of staying close to you and allow the Holy Spirit to burn brightly in us, more and more our lives point the world to the Messiah, the same Messiah that you used the wise men to point the world to as well. Help us to be wise like them in that way and live a lifestyle of praising and worshiping you and pointing the world to our Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic, a lifestyle of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. We'll be right back. Words of Ella, the song by Elevation Worship, Oh Sing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, a lifestyle of praise, worship, a lifestyle of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. And Isaac, you had something on your heart you wanted to share.
Yeah, I wanted to share something I've been taught, and I wanted to see if you had any thoughts about it, Pastor Joseph. Mm-hmm. So I was taught... Well, this kind of compare and contrast thing, that gratitude is a faith issue and that unthankfulness is usually the effect of a lack of trust. So to kind of explain that, we can start with a saying, never look a gift horse in the mouth. Like, it doesn't really, that doesn't really explain this comparison perfectly. But, mm-hmm. you know, if you look a gift horse in the mouth, what you're saying is the person who gave this, I don't trust you. Mm-hmm. I don't trust that this is a good horse. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that what you've gifted me is good enough for what I want, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you start with unthankfulness, what you're really saying is this stuff that I have is not enough. Mm-hmm. But really what you're doing is you're saying that the person who has given me this stuff has not been enough. And so that whenever we move gratitude to being a faith issue, we move from saying, God, you are not a good enough giver, I don't trust you, to Father, I trust you, even if I can't tell how good or not good this is. Does that make sense? So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I guess one thing that comes to my mind is that, you know, when God created the world, it's like all of creation was screaming, God is good. His goodness just flows from everything he created. But when the devil came to the garden, tempted Adam and Eve, his approach was, is God really good?
Did he really give you everything?
And sadly, they kind of went along with his deception and were obviously, they fell into sin. But the reality is God's creation is good and God is totally good. And so he can be totally trusted. So our worship and praise is in relation to in line with what you shared. We're acknowledging that he's good, even when we don't fully recognize or see what he's doing. On the other hand, complaining is, God, you're messing up. You know, it looks like I'm not sure if you really are good in this situation. You know? So I think clearly it's important to know complaining is never a good thing. It really is a way to curse something.
And it's really got to be a difficult position to try to take to say, God, you don't know what I need. Like it's hard to actually see us taking that position and looking God in the face and saying, I know better than you do. But isn't that seems to be kind of what we do whenever we're unthankful.
I guess that's one way, definitely one way to look at that. So, and it's just so good for us to know that like worship, praise, and thanksgiving, it's the highest form of prayer. And when we worship and praise God, God begins to answer prayers even before we ask them sometimes. Praise and worship, even though we may not fully understand what all is going on, it's so productive. It'll bless us and bless the world around us. So living a lifestyle of worship and praise is just a wise way for every believer to live. Living with an attitude of gratitude, it blesses us and the grace of God flows to us and flows through us into the world to bless the world as well.
That makes me think of something Jesus said, that not even a sparrow, not one sparrow falls to the ground without our Heavenly Father knowing about it. And how much more valuable are we to him than a sparrow?
That's right. That's right. Thank you for sharing that, Isaac. Praise God. And again, today, as we continue to look at the topic of lifestyle of worship, praise, and thanksgiving, one of the ways we express our gratitude is by thanking God for what he's given us and taking care of what he's given us as well. If we're genuinely grateful for something, not only should we say thank you, God, for whatever it is, but we should try to do our best to take good care of whatever that might be. And, you know, if you're married, if you have a husband or wife, then it's not only good to thank the Lord for your spouse, but pray for your spouse every single day. Not only is that a wise thing to do, that's one way to express your gratitude. We're going to take time from one of the articles we've shared from before. The article is entitled Praying Daily for Your Spouse. I'm going to take time to pray through the prayer, the husband's prayer for his wife. And, of course, I won't pray the wife's prayer for her husband, but that's a part of the article. If you want to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. And this is, again, a part of the article entitled Praying Daily for Your Spouse. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the gift my wife Birdie is to me, to our family, to the church, and the kingdom of God. Lord, bless my wife today. Indeed, expand her territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon her. Keep her from evil that she may not cause pain. In Jesus' name, help me this day to be the full blessing to her that you would have me to be. In Jesus' name. Fill her day with joy, peace, grace, and encouragement. Help her to walk in your love, your joy, and your peace today. Help her to spend the time in your word and in prayer that you wanted to spend today in Jesus' name. Help her this day to put you first. Help her, Lord, to not make any graven images. Help her to not take your name in vain. Help her to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help her to honor her father and her mother. Help her to value life. Help her to not steal. Help her to not commit adultery. Help her to tell the truth. Help her to not covet in Jesus' name. Empower her this day to fulfill all the call of God upon her life in the name of Jesus. Help her to live today as the living sacrifice you want her to be and to walk out your will. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer, and thank you again for the gift she is to me and to the kingdom of God. Dear Lord, bless her and keep her. Make your face shine upon her and be gracious to her. Dear Lord, lift up your countenance upon her and give her your peace. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, that's the prayer entitled, again, the title, the article from which the prayer comes is entitled Praying Daily for Your Spouse. If you want to get a copy, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. And then here's one praying for our children as well. And this prayer comes from a wonderful book that you can easily download offline. It's called Praying in Victory. And it's a wonderful prayer book you can get offline. But this prayer is entitled Praying for Our Children. So just as we should thank God for our children and our grandchildren, we're wise to pray for them daily as an expression of, amongst other things, gratitude to God for them. Thank you, Lord, for all of our children and our grandchildren, dear Lord. I thank you, Father, that your word prevails over these, our children. I thank you that they are taught of the Lord and continue to be the fruit of godly instruction and correction. Father, great is their peace and undisturbed composure. Father, give us counsel and wisdom in bringing up our children and in guiding and helping them in the name of Jesus. I say that they are obedient, not conforming to the things of the flesh, but holy in all conduct, desiring the pure milk of the word that they may grow thereby. I pray that they are swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I pray that their conduct is without covetousness and that they are content with what they have. They do not forget to do what is right and to share. I pray that they grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and abound more and more in how they should walk and please you. I pray that they submit to their elders and to one another, being clothed with humility. I pray that they cast their cares upon you, Father, for you care for them. I thank you that they are doers of the word and not hearers only, effectively sharing their faith. They not having a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Father, you have saved them and called them with a holy calling, not according to works, but according to your own purpose. Deliver them from every evil work and preserve them. They will by no means follow strangers, not knowing their voices. They abide with others who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, and cursing comes not out of their mouth. Because Jesus keeps them safe, the wicked one does not touch them. Give your angels special charge to accompany, defend, preserve, and provide safety for them day and night. Because they keep your word, your love is being perfected in them. They do not love the world or the things in the world, and they do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. They walk in the light as you in the light, cleansing their hands and purifying their hearts. They follow after righteousness, faith, love, and peace. They have a good conscience and desire to live honorably, having favor and high esteem with God and man. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. In looking in the book of Psalms, Psalm 150 tells us these words. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for eternal life. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for the chance to know you, to be able to serve you. Thank you for the opportunity, Father, to know you and to walk with you. And thank you for not only having that opportunity, thank you for the opportunity you give us, Lord, of being able to live a lifestyle of praise and worship, a lifestyle of not only being a disciple, but a lifestyle of making disciples. Help us to know, Lord, that every day is a day to live so that our lives point people to you. And help us to live in such a way that not only are our lives supposed to point people to you, but we're to be encouraging others to come to know you better and to grow up in you. We're encouraging daily people to grow in their prayer life, encouraging them daily to read your word, encouraging them daily to live your word, to live a life of love. Help us to be faithful. Again, more and more help us to be the faithful disciples you'd have us to be. And more help us to be the faithful disciple makers that you would have us to be as well. And help us to know, Lord, that there's great joy in the work of making disciples. Help us every day to be faithfully on the job, knowing there are people that are desperately in need of coming to know Jesus, and there are people desperately in need of learning how to grow up in their faith as well. We thank you, and we praise you for the opportunity to know and serve you in these ways. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you have never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to make that step. If you'd like to make that step, would you simply, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to seek you in prayer daily. Help me to obey you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you committed your life to Christ and prayed that prayer, we want to be in touch with you. I want to remind you, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, please be sure and get in touch with us. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you again, joseph@afr.net. We've been looking today at the topic, a lifestyle of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.